Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Jaden Sterling, international best-selling author of The Alchemy of True Success. And thanks so much for tuning in to Soul to Profit Radio, bringing business to spirituality and spirituality to business. Each show, we are committed to helping you, our enlightened audience, discover your purpose, share your gifts, and monetize your message. Life is short, so let's get started.
Hello and welcome to all my wonderful, loyal listeners from around the globe and beyond. I'm your host, Jaden Sterling, and I have a fantastic show for you today. Now, before I get started, I want to give a shout out to someone who contacted me this week via email and said, her email said, "Blessings, Jaden, I love listening to your podcasts and always find them uplifting and inspirational. Thank you." Well, thank you, Crystal, for your kind review on iTunes for my weekly podcast, and please send me your email address, and I will send you my Money, Meditation, and Daily Affirmation CD, which I just found out recently is the number one rated CD on iTunes for money affirmations. So that was pretty neat. I'm excited about that. And Crystal, you will be receiving that for free. So thanks again for your great and uplifting testimonial on iTunes for me. Now, if you've listened to my show for a while, you know I love to bring guests on the show who inspire you to live a life aligned with your purpose. And if you've ever wondered how to successfully balance your spiritual life with your business life, then you are in the right place. You know, I started Soul to Profit Radio to bring you the world's best leaders and experts in the field of personal and business development and leading icons when it comes to spirituality. Each week, my intention is clear, and it's to assist you in bridging the gap between the spiritual and practical business strategies so that you can truly make money doing what you love. I mean, imagine waking up every single day excited and happy because you know you get to change people's lives for the better and make money at the same time. So I have an incredible guest for you today, and I want you to get involved in the chat room today for the show. And you can do so by going to Facebook and bring up Jaden Sterling's Wealth and Wisdom page. Go there and write your questions that you have for Christopher or myself, and we'll answer them for you. Or you can also call in if you have any questions. Our guest call-in number is area code 626-231-0306. Or if you're calling in from the United States, our phone number is, it's toll-free, 877-633-9454. Now, I'd like to introduce my guest today because you are going to love Christopher. It's Christopher Timms, and it's been said that he makes people's dreams come true. Christopher is a true master teacher and guide, and he's here to remind us of our own divine nature and the abundance of the universe that we are. By helping us redefine our worldview, Christopher guides us toward the experience of oneness, resulting in a richly fulfilled life. Highly clairvoyant and clairaudient since childhood, Christopher feels that these and other abilities, while blessed gifts, are merely byproducts of the union with the one source that we all are a part and inseparable from. Christopher teaches that it's natural for all of us to directly experience sacred unity as he guides us to the oneness that rests within each of us. As we experience sacred unity, life unfolds as a dream fulfilled and as hope realized. Oh, I just love that. And on January 8, 1988, Christopher founded the Order of the Blue Star, and through it began sharing the eternal teachings worldwide, showing people how to connect to, experience, and ultimately live in oneness. And I recently met Christopher through a mutual friend, Harrison Klein, and the minute I met Christopher, I loved his energy, loved his message, and it deeply resonated with me. And I knew, wow, this is someone who is literally changing the world with his teachings, and it is my true honor to bring you Christopher Timms. Christopher, how are you?
I'm very well, Jaden. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great and happy to have you with us. And wow, I've been looking forward to this show for a while now.
Me too. I'm really glad to be with you today and to be able to share some of these ideas and insights from my own experience with everyone.
Wonderful. Well, let's get into it. You know, will you share with our listeners a little bit about your background in terms of how you discovered your soul's purpose and what it took to align with that?
I think that is important, and I'm glad you were talking about that before we started the show today. And I think that the journey to bring yourself to the table, to really arrive in your life, is something that's lacking, tremendously lacking in our culture today, in that people are put in the cattle chute of pick a vocation, pick a job, get a degree, get a trade, get something where you can plug in, make your money. You have to work for this many years. You have to save this much money. You have to have these kinds of things. Then you can retire. Then you can do this. There's very little space for most people to allow themselves to be, to have the vision quest, to go through a rite of passage. So therefore, you have people that have grown through life into their 60s, into their 70s, and they've never realized their dream. They've never lived the life that they wanted to live. They've lived a composite life that they've been shuffled into, kind of cookie-cutter life, just different versions, different sprinkles on the cookies, but it's all the same thing. And that's not what I did at all. So to be specific, I never really fit in anywhere. I never fit in school. I played music all my life. I loved sciences and math. I was big in sports, but yet I never really fit in with the cliques, never fit in with the groups. I've studied martial arts, yoga, since I've been a little boy, since I've been 13, 14 years of age, and didn't really fit in there. But I pursued it all. And in mystical life, as I've probably shared with you before, perhaps just privately, but as I wanted to find fellowship in spiritual organizations, I just got kicked out of every organization that I ever tried to join. I would become a part of things, and because I speak completely out of my own direct experience, I don't just parrot dogma and concepts and beliefs and ideas that other people do. I speak just about what I know from my own direct experience. And when I found that that wasn't fitting into the criteria to be part of this group or this group or this group, then I was kind of shuffled out the door, so to speak. Until I realized that these experiences were helping build my conviction in my own direct experience. And while I didn't have a plan, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with my life, I knew what I didn't want to do with my life. I didn't want to be a part of somebody else's momentum, somebody else's system. I wanted to somehow strike out on my own. And I realized that I had done that all of my life anyway. I managed every band that I ever played in, Jaden. Now I'm a drummer and a violinist. I managed and produced every band I was ever with. I owned my own contracting firm, just like my father had. I have to work for myself. I have to allow myself my own creativity. So the first indication here about how we couple spiritual life with physical success is a really important hinge pin. So if I can just jump into that, I think that'll help continue to build these ideas that we're speaking about.
Absolutely, please.
First of all, now this sounds kind of contrary, but I want everybody to just hear it, okay? The job of your spiritual life is not to financially support you. And people go, oh, no, that's true. It's an absolute, absolute truth. The job of your spiritual life is to provide a pathway through which you can experience freedom from the bounds of this physical reality, knowing that you're eternal, and then to experience fulfillment beyond what you can know now. That's the pivotal cornerstone of your spiritual life. So now, what I've realized, Jaden, is that I pursue the spiritual journey, as you know, with incredible intensity. It's a complete tantra for me and has been all of my life. And there have been times in my life when it's been very abundant, very equitable, you know, just really making money, helping, reaching lots and lots of people. And that's great. Opulence is wonderful. But there's also times when you're in business for yourself, most of the time, anybody who's been in business for yourself will know, things come and go in waves. So there's an ebb and a flow. And there's certain cycles to things. You'll be really well off, and then things will become really sparse. Right? So at that point, I don't become frustrated with my spiritual path because the money is a byproduct of my pursuance of the spiritual path and my talent thereof. It's not the purpose of the path. So I continue my spiritual practices. I continue living with the same values and doing the same things that I've always done, but I pick up my contracting tools and I go back to work. And as soon as I do that, as soon as I de-stress myself from making my spiritual life the sole source of income for my well-being, then all of a sudden, insights, opportunities, different perspectives come in, and then a whole nother wave of teachings is before me. New ideas, new ways of reaching people. So then that takes over again. I think that people make a tragic mistake of thinking that they're going to become a healer, they're going to become a teacher, they're going to become a lecturer, and then that's going to somehow be how their spiritual path expresses itself and financially support them. And I've seen people do that and do that very well. And here's the but, because you could feel it coming. The but is that there's a lack of integrity. There's something that has been sold out. And you can feel it, kind of a chink in the armor. And that's one thing that I will not do. I will not compromise my spiritual path. My spiritual path is about my own fulfillment, my own spiritual realization. And if I hold that as pristine and sacred, then opportunities to share that through the skills that I've cultivated all these years become self-evident. Things just unfold in front of me like a magic carpet. For instance, just to take a moment and share with everybody, for 25 years of doing this, I have physically traveled, brought teachings to people all over the world, traveled in North America by motorhome or by van or whatever I was doing, flew to different parts of the country, taking people to sacred sites in different parts of the world, doing the whole thing. And I was tired of it, Jaden. I was tired of it. I was doing well. I was tired of it because it's just a lot. It's like the nonstop rock and roll trip. You know, you're just on a tour all the time. So I put all my tools. I went back to work. I actually stopped teaching, if you can believe it. And then what happened? All of this began to flow through me. A new thing to teach, a new idea, collaging and putting together some of the notions and perspectives that I've accumulated. And I see how it's real. It's an overlay for what the mystery school teachings are about in ancient Egypt. So now I'm teaching mystery school classes. And that begins to grow and grow and grow. And then all of a sudden, as if from nowhere, I'm now doing telesummits. I'm kind of embarrassed to tell you, but before last fall, I didn't even know there was a thing called a telesummit. I know that sounds ridiculous, and I'm really dating myself, you know, but I had no idea because my world has been focused on bringing teachings to people, driving or flying to their cities and towns, being with them. And now all of a sudden, I'm in my room, I have an office and I have a broadcast room, and I teach to the world, the two-way video, audio conferencing, you know, the whole thing, and it's just amazing to me, but I didn't even know about that.
Wow.
You know, and so what I'm saying is that when you take the stress off of your spiritual life to support you, and you figure out a way to make some residual income, like through iTunes or through selling product of some sort. And it can be related to your spiritual path, but don't let your insight, don't let your spiritual perspective be directly tied to you making money. Because then the perversion is this. Then your spiritual path is no longer your spiritual path. It's your job.
Mm.
And then it's different because people do their job to make money. Do you see how the association changes?
Yeah, I do. So what are you recommending? Do you recommend that people work in a job in order to make money and keep their spiritual path separate? Or, like, because I'm kind of thinking, you know, we can really look inside ourselves, discover what it is that we are here to do, you know, sort of what our soul's purpose is, and then do things, for instance, like telesummits and speaking and consulting in order to bring in the financial abundance so that we don't have to go out and get that J-O-B, you know, to earn money.
That's right. And what you said is really important in that, for instance, in my own life, I found that the quality of the music that I was able to put out when I was playing music full-time years ago was heightened greatly. It took me and the whole band up a couple notches when we all had day jobs. I was working construction 7 to 3:30, rest a little while, have rehearsal, and we were normally playing 4 or 5 nights a week till 1 or 2 in the morning. And then I get up after 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and then you're back on the job again, and then you do that again. But that's a whole lot of effort.
Mm-hmm.
But yet at the same time, making the money enabled me to invest in my drums, invest in my equipment, invest in marketing for the band, invest in fixing up my vehicles, you know, taking care of business. So then when I was playing music, I wasn't worried about how I'm going to pay for insurance, how I'm going to pay my electric bill. And then what happened is that the band started getting higher paying gigs, better quality, you know, clubs to play in, recording dates, and studio time, all kinds of stuff. And it all came as a result of not stressing the art, which is music or is your spiritual life, to support you, because then it will. It's kind of a paradox, because if you try to make it support you, then it becomes a job and you kind of distort the value of your life, your spiritual life. But
mm-hmm.
if you put your attention on taking care of food, clothing, and shelter with a regular job, just initially, it's like starting the momentum. Once you start the momentum, once you prime the pump and get things going, then your own inner being, think of it this way, your own inner conviction, okay, this is so meaningful to me to play music, to do this, I love this so much that I'm willing to de-stress my financial responsibilities from the music. I'm willing to work all day rest, rehearse, and then play all night to get up and do it again, over and over again, because that's how much playing music means to me. And then, boom, in a short time, I don't have to work construction anymore.
You know, Christopher, that's so profound what you said, because what I heard you say was it takes the pressure off of that spiritual component and it frees you up so that, you know, the energy can come through, because it's back to purity. It's back to the very essence of you sharing your gifts. And in return, like you said, you got higher paying gigs to eventually the, you know, you could do what you love to do full time and give up the job. So that's really great advice. I really like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then here's another whole level to it. Now, growing up in Delaware, where I played music, and I can use this as a bridge because it works really well, as I see it clearly in my life now, so many years afterwards. I was at the top of my game playing music in my mid-20s, before the Order of the Blue started and all of this. And I had the opportunity to play with two people that were just starting in music, that were local to the New Jersey and Delaware area, but they were just becoming big. One was Bruce Springsteen. I had the opportunity to play with the E Street Band. They wanted me to play drums. George Thorogood and the Delaware Destroyers. Both of these guys were, you know, mega stars. And I had opportunities to play drums with them, but I chose not to go that way. Why? Because there was something beginning to grow within me that said, you know, I can't handle this lifestyle. I can't handle what they're doing, because I'm a vegetarian guy out here with just a bunch of lunatics, and they weren't living my life. So, God, I was loving playing the music, but now there was a higher calling. So I actually turned down opportunities. I actually began to withdraw from that, and I stopped playing music. I went to work doing construction, and I just said, okay, you know, that's my fallback position for me because of my skill set. Everyone has their own fallback position. Have to have a fallback position in life, in trades and skills. Everybody has to have that. And I fall back, and I just allow my path to cultivate, allow things to grow within me, and then boom, as if from nowhere, I started the Order of the Blue Star. And to show you how powerful that is, when you give yourself space to cultivate while you're out there working, taking care of daily bread, with no business plan, with no idea what I was doing, because there was nobody I wanted to model after, within 2 years, Jaden, I was teaching in 16 different cities, from Vancouver to Montreal, to Miami, to Dallas, to Santa Cruz, San Francisco, everywhere in between, and it was a nonstop tour, picking up new cities, changing location, everything, for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Sydney, Australia, you know, taking people all over the place, and it was just nonstop. But it all started with me having the determination to just take a step back, not compromise myself, not take these great opportunities in music, because there was a higher voice calling me.
Wow,
does that make sense?
Christopher, that makes wonderful sense. And I hope our listeners are really taking that message to heart, that we are always led by this higher calling. And if we're clear about our purpose and who we are and what genuinely moves us to serve others, then I believe we're all going to get signs and clues that you know, we can align with that higher purpose. And I love your story, because so many people probably in your situation would have just jumped on the opportunity to work with, you know, legends in the business, because you love drumming, you loved that aspect, but you knew that there was something even greater for you. And what did it take for you to step into, like when you founded in 1988 the Order of Blue Star, what happened during that time? Did you receive an inspired thought, or did it come in a dream, or what was the process for you?
Well, I had been part of several different spiritual organizations that I was kind of taken. by them, and I was being crafted as a leader, teacher in these organizations, okay? And then when I began to see that really the whole organization was built on a bunch of fraud and that the leaders were really complete frauds, then I began to point it out, and then, of course, you get kicked out of the organization, you know, because the emperor wears no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't, and so from that, I realized that I really need to be convicted to my own experience, or I need to just compromise myself and sell out. So because I don't compromise, I began to just be with my own experience. I said, okay, well, if I can't be a part of any of these organizations because I won't comply to their dogma, to their ideas, then what am I going to do? What am I really going to do with my life? Because we all want spiritual fellowship. We all want to belong. Everyone wants to belong. And I realized that perhaps the thing that I was going to do was to be myself and start talking to people about my life, my journey, my experiences, and hope that other people could relate when I can couple my stories, my ideas with fundamental spiritual practices and applications to improve every aspect of life. And it's just grown into this worldwide network of people that I've touched, and we're all together over 25 years.
Mm, so wonderful.
Does that begin to answer your question?
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, basically you're saying you've always taken the perspective of what you've known to be true about yourself, and you've held steadfast to that, and you've also known that you have a message and a gift to share to others, and it was through this creating the Order of the Blue Star that you're sharing that message. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, and I didn't really have a concrete idea as to what I was going to share, and I realized that perhaps the only gift we give the world is ourselves. So all I had to do was to have the courage and the skills to talk about my ideas, my perceptions. I call them reflections along the way. And that's what I've done for all these years. I just call them like I see them as I'm walking down the road.
I like that. And that's really powerful because so many people, Christopher, want to know in the very beginning of their spiritual practices, you know, what is my message that I'm going to share? And they want it instantly, and they want it,
right,
almost as if a billboard falls from the sky. And if they don't get that, then there's sort of this frustration that happens. And I keep saying to people, you know, please look beyond that frustration, that the reality is right where you are right now, what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, the information you're getting is what your spiritual practice is about and is what you are to teach. What are your thoughts on
that?
That's
right. That's right. And, you know, as I'm listening to you, Jaden, one of the great examples of really not knowing what you're going to talk about, but you just take a step forward because you realize you're just going to share yourself. This is why I talk about just talking about your life and your own journey. This is what people need to understand, is that you hear one of the classic people in our alternative culture, Ram Dass, you know, and when you listen to old Ram Dass on YouTube, watch him on YouTube, often he'll come out and he won't know what he's going to talk about. He just sits down and takes a couple questions, and then he's always telling stories about where he's been recently, what he's been doing, and then that develops into a dialogue, a living dialogue with the audience and with the group. So I encourage everybody that's interested in doing this spiritual thing, you know, where you want to take your spiritual ideas out there, don't script yourself. Don't have any big ideas about what you think you want to accomplish, because you're the gift. So make the gift the very best you can be at all levels. Live the ideas that you're talking about. Don't be a fraud in any way. Don't compromise yourself. You know, the message is the messenger. Everybody has to remember that, Jaden. The message really is not the message, not the words. The message really is the messenger. And she said, as I own that, there's an energy, a presence that we share behind any of the words. And there's a power, there's a dynamism behind that, an authenticity behind that, that's more important for everyone to be inspired. Now, the word inspire means to breathe in, to take in. So as we take that in, that's crafted from my life experience, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's brought me to the table right here with everyone, right here with you. And there's a sense of uncompromising, relentless pursuit of this journey, just to continue. And in the continuance of this journey, we realize that what I'm going to share with you today is from the pages of my life. What's valuable to me today? I can't script that. I can't even make an outline about that. You know, before you and I spoke today, I looked at some of the questions and ideas that we're to cover today, and I spent about 30 seconds on it and go, okay, all right. Because I know you and I will talk, and we just kind of dance with all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody has to understand when they want to bring their spiritual path into the idea of being their way of being successful financially, to monetize that. Really, you're monetizing yourself. So the big question is, are you worth anything? How much are you worth? Are you really good at being you? Are you a mediocre you? Or are you an unbelievable? Are you an amazing you? This is what you have to do. I bring my A game to the table every time I teach. Not my A game, my A++ game. You are getting me at the best of my game when I come to the table. I prepare by taking the dogs for a walk, by going to the gym, by juicing, by making sure the kitchen's cleaned up, by making sure my car is basically in order, and I've already had a meeting with my accountant, my business team, already done a private session. I've done all these things this morning. Why? So that I could be free. I could be clear. I could bring my A++ game to you, because this is what it means when you want to bring your spiritual life to the table.
Wow, Christopher, I love that.
It's much bigger, and I don't mean to interrupt. I just want to say before I forget it that it's much bigger than when you're a tradesman, meaning working with your hands, whether it's on computer for graphics or web design or with tools to build a house or repair a car. It's much different than any of that. Because while those things certainly are spiritual, and there's a component to that in everything that we do, hopefully, with this, you're stripping away any other accoutrement, any other mediator. There's no tools in my hand, no wrenches, there's no chainsaw, there's no hammer, there's no computer keyboard, there's no intermediary or buffer between you and the world. See, when I'm talking live, when I'm teaching live to the world, it's just me. No screens, no 10-second buffering, no anything. There's just, it's the what you see is what you get. And you have to be willing to own that. You have to be willing to be that big. You have to be willing to be that real. And if people can hear the authority with which I'm speaking here and the conviction I have about it, it's going to bring you success. It's going to bring you fulfillment. Because I can tell you that in the world of New Age, of metaphysics, of New Thought, everyone's shopped so much. People have shopped so much for so long that they're really tired of hearing the same old concepts, just rehashed with different wording, different people's stories about how they do this, how they do that, but they know it's all in the realm of concepts of what I call human doings. So we're moving beyond that now. We're moving into the realm of being, where all you're sharing is you. So I want to help everybody whip themselves into shape so that you can be the greatest presentation to the world. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And what I heard you say, if I can surmise it in a few steps here, is first of all, bring the absolute top integrity to your teachings, that be authentically you as you prepare to go out and create your spiritual practice or your spiritually based business. That's first and foremost. Secondly, clear your space of clutter, of anything that will detract from you bringing absolute peace of mind and your A game to every single situation. Thirdly, be someone who's an open channel, a conduit for this information to flow through, and trust in the message that comes through you. Don't question it. Don't stay in your head with it, but really be someone who is authentically aligned with your beingness rather than focusing on what you need to do or think that you need to do. You know, a lot of people get caught in the trap of they think they need to do certain things based on maybe what other people are doing, and they're comparing themselves, and that's a real trap that I see a lot of people fall into. But I love your steps because it completely bypasses that situation. It keeps someone focused and on the path of being authentically them, authentically being, you know, who they really are, and then delivering the message with utmost clarity.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's very well put. Very good. Very, very good. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, you said it really well, so I just did a little summary. Now, Christopher, what are your thoughts on, you know, the title of the show was Balancing Spiritual and Business. So what are your thoughts on, you know, is it possible to apply spiritual principles to business? What do you think about that?
Oh, yes, and it's really evident that that's vacant in most of society today. Today what we have is capitalism without a conscience. And capitalism without a conscience just propagates greed. Greed and lust all through the business world. And with the new energy that we're all a part of, the dawn of new consciousness and the beginnings of the age of Aquarius that we're all in now, there is capitalism with a conscience. You know, there's free trade products, there's environmentally sound products, there's the different kinds of music and art, and everything is taking on a different type of flavor. And I think it's just important to become informed. People have to become informed as to really what they're contributing to, really what you're contributing to. I turn down opportunities in business because I don't feel as though the opportunity is in alignment with the values that I hold to be self-evident, the things that I think are a priority. So you have to become what's called ruthless. You have to be ruthless with yourself. And it's tempting, just like it's tempting. Don't you think it was tempting for me to say no to Bruce Springsteen?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know, over how many times did I kick myself, you know, as a young guy when I'm thinking about that, when things are tough, you know. But, no, you just do what you know you need to do. You can't compromise. You have to be ruthless. And I'm amazed at the strength that decisions make. But, boy, those decisions, once you make them, they strengthen your character. And then the payoff as you go down the road is just an amazing snowball rolling down the hill, filled with your fulfillment, with amazing opportunities. And so capitalism with a conscience is becoming part of our way of life now. And while there are a lot of older institutions that still are completely void of a lot of what I would call the conscience, they're just exploiting opportunities to their own end. I think it's important for people to understand that not only is there nothing wrong with being financially successful, it's a really good thing to be financially successful. Okay, it's a great thing to be financially successful. I've been broke, and I've been very well off. I'd rather be very well off.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, duh. But yet at the same time, I wouldn't really appreciate being well off unless I was really broke.
The duality.
We have to. How can you enjoy really good food if you haven't eaten poorly?
Mm-hmm.
How can you experience a really fulfilling love and relationship if you haven't had ones that have been unsatisfying? Okay.
Powerful.
So embrace the times you are in your life. As everyone begins this idea of polishing, I call it polishing. Remember, the message is the messenger. So don't worry about what you're going to say. That's all completely irrelevant. What you bring into the table is you. And you're going to be in integrity. You're going to be true to yourself. You're going to be living the principles that you're going to share with other people and talk to them about whatever you're talking about, relationships, economics, making money, health and nutrition. If you're going to teach health and nutrition, you better be in really good shape and really know your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with money, I tell people like it is. You know, when you're in business for yourself, it's feast and famine. And we look to diversify our income streams through a variety of different things which are personalized for you as you go down the path. And I talk to people about that often when we do consultations. Just like you're helping me because I'm not on iTunes. And you couldn't believe I wasn't on iTunes. Right, I don't know. I mean, come on. I'm the guy that didn't know about telesummits last fall. Right? You know, so now I'm going to be on iTunes.
So, yes, you are. We're all excited about that.
That's cool. That's just exciting to me. See, and all I had to do is make myself available. That's what you have to do. Each person has to make themselves available for the magic carpet. You know, the big magic carpet is just waiting to take you on the ride. All you have to do is be authentic, be real, polish, work on yourself. Don't worry about what you're going to sell. Don't worry about how you're going to make money. Don't worry about any of those things. That'll become evident as you take care of yourself. It really is. I've heard so many people, Jaden, talk about their breaking molds, setting goals, getting what you want out of your life, talks and things. And everyone's got all these outside-in techniques. And change is an inside game completely.
Mm-hmm.
If you do all these things outside in your life, trying to make things happen, trying to sell products, trying to get ideas out, all this stuff, but yet you haven't changed how you feel about yourself, then success will be compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
100%, exactly. I mean, really, the reality is success is an inside job. And
absolutely.
And when people realize that, you know, it's not a matter of, like you said, what product do I put out? How do I make money? It's not that thought process. The thought process is, what do I need to do within myself to feel worthy, to feel deserving, to feel as if I have a message that needs to be heard? And I think that's the biggest part. There's really, it's not a lack of money that exists in our society. The reality is $41 trillion trades hands each and every day around our globe. And people have to make the decision, the deciding factor of how much of that they want. And that is based on what level of self-esteem are people at. You know, where are they with themselves internally, with their belief about their abilities, with, you know, how much they truly can trust themselves and rely on themselves. And I think when someone gets to that point of a very high level of self-confidence, that it no longer becomes scary to share their truth and to speak their truth. Do you find that as well, Christopher, the people that you work with?
Yes. Why don't you develop that a little bit? I was just kind of feeling what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, what I find is when people step into what we call their soul's purpose, that they look at something that exists outside of themselves. And then that becomes a scary proposition, because then it becomes, oh my gosh, how do I create a business around something outside of myself? And that's very challenging. But when you look inward and discover a little more about your talents and your gifts and what truly drives you and your passion, you know, like I started the show out saying, what wakes you up in the morning with enthusiasm and passion and excitement for what it is you want to do, that is truly your soul's purpose. That's your divine connection. Mm-hmm. And
that's
speaking
right
to you and moving you in a direction that then becomes an outlet for money to flow to you.
That's great. Yes. And when people have to understand the language of your own inner kingdom, and your inner kingdom, your inner world doesn't speak in literal dynamics, literal expressions, as much or as often as it speaks in abstract qualities. So when we begin to get in touch with qualities, feelings, sensations, they don't have anything to do with what to do. They're just, in Buddhism, what we call cultivations. And these sensations, these feelings, these ideas, I remember as a young guy playing music, these feelings and ideas, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just being with it, and they would just blossom within me within moments, and I would have music pouring out of my hands and my feet on the drums or on the violin, or I'd have an insight into the teachings, into ancient civilizations or the psychology of relationships, all of this stuff. It all comes from qualities, abstractions that then become left brain, kinetic, applied ideas. So people have to understand, you know, that. They have to understand the language of your own inner world, because it has to do with abstractions. And really, I want people to get in touch with the feelings.
Mm.
Get this feeling inside. And coupled with that, the idea here that my fundamental spiritual practice is important for people, as it helps invest in this inner environment. It helps build a nice sense of communion within. So if I can just share a little bit about how I practice, what my inner practice is, I think it would help everyone get this.
Please, yes.
Okay. Well, my fundamental spiritual practice has been listening to this sound. And what am I talking about? This sound, as it has about 30 different names, religions from the East and West and ancient traditions, is a high-pitched ringing sound that occurs within the inner hearing. It's there all the time. Everyone's got it. No one's lacking. And if you don't seem to hear it, it's just because your senses have been turned outward so long that you're not paying attention to it. You have to be gentle with yourself. So this sound is the song of the universe. It could be called the voice of God singing to you. And literally, what this high-pitched ringing sound is, Jaden, this is the echoes of the Big Bang. We are listening to the song of creation itself, the echoes of the initial moments of creation that we're a part of, that we're inseparable from. So now, how I ask people to begin this practice is 20 or 30, 40 times a day, I want you to listen for about 10 seconds at a time. Every time you sit down to eat a meal, listen. Every time you grab the refrigerator, listen. Every time you go to the washroom, listen. Every time you get in the car, listen. And what you're doing is you're welcoming that presence, that vibration, that frequency into your life throughout your day. And imagine that you're investing Imagine that there is a scale in front of you, an old-time balance scale. And it's lopsided way over on the right-hand side, filled with all these bags. These are sandbags full of your concepts about yourself, about your relationship to money, about what you have to do in order to make money, whether you deserve money or not, all these types of concepts. Now, you can either worry about analyzing what these concepts are and dealing with them, or you can look at the other side of the scale and go, you know what, there's nothing over here. Ah, so if you want to tip the scales through your investment, then you're going to change your leverage. So what are you going to do? You're going to listen to this sound. As you listen to this sound, every time you listen to the sound for 10 or 15 seconds, you're going to drop a few gold coins on this side of the scale. Now, nothing seems to happen. You've only got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Nothing's happening. This is still tilted way over on this side. But what will happen is as you begin to accumulate gold coins, as you realize that, God, I'm hearing this sound all the time now. Wow. Now you're going to drop a whole sack of coins right on that side of the scale. Things tip. And then what happens is with your change of investment, I mean, with your increased investment, your leverage changes. With your change of leverage, now your perception of the world changes, and now you see a world full of amazing opportunities where there was once just lack. There is no discouragement. There is no pessimism. There's just the adventure laying right there in front of you. And all you did was you changed your perception through investing in yourself, changing the leverage, and then your perception gives you a whole new world. And in that world, fulfillment is not a possibility. Not at all. Fulfillment is inevitable. Because the universe is always saying yes to you. Believe it or not, even if you're not doing well in life in many different ways, the universe is always saying yes to you. It's always giving you exactly what you're broadcasting. So if you want to change the world, change your opportunities, change your whole life situation, change how you see yourself. Invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. Just listen. Just listen.
Wow.
So that's been my practice since the mid-70s, about 1975.
And listening allows you to know.
Yeah, that's how we be still and know. That's what we were told.
Mm-hmm.
Just be still and know. And what will happen is that you begin, as you invest, as you shift, then you're going to feel these qualities that we were talking about, these abstractions. You're going to cultivate them. They begin to gestate and grow. They begin to birth themselves as ideas and ahas and, oh, that's what I can do now. Things will just happen.
Mm.
And it's all natural. It has to be an inside-out process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, does
that make
sense?
It's that easy. It makes total sense. I absolutely am 100% in agreement with you that it is an inside job, and what we experience outside of ourselves is a reflection of what is going on inside. And I often share with my clients and students as well that if you're experiencing something outside of you that is based, you know, a lack of, maybe they're experiencing a lack of customers or a lack of clients or a lack of money, it's directly related to something going on the inside. And I've often, even just recently, Christopher, it's come to me that money is reflective of a physiological aspect within one's own body. So there's something going on with the energy of money and success that really does go back to an individual and how they see themselves, and more importantly, how they feel that their knowingness, and I think a lot of this stems from a place of knowingness, but as we know, in order to know something, there oftentimes has to be this little thing called faith and trust, right? Then I loved what you said, that fulfillment is not a possibility, it's an absolute. When you learn to listen to that voice of God, is that how you define that,
yeah,
that tone?
Yeah, some people get kind of uncomfortable when you talk about it that way, but that's, the ancients called it the holy nam, the shabd. The indigenous people call it the voice of our ancestors.
Mm.
You know, it has 30 different names, and it's been a fundamental golden thread that ties together all of the philosophies, all the ancient traditions. And when we anchor ourselves in that ancient thread, that essential thread, we are investing in what's called eternity. We're investing in eternity. And what I mean is that people look to the outside world to answer all their questions, to resolve all their problems, make money, have the right relationship, have the right job, all these different things. It's got to try to make this happen, do this and do that. Well, the world out here is an illusion. The world out here is an illusion, and it's subject to your perception on a moment-to-moment basis. So we don't deal with the outside world as the source or answer to any of our quandary. Our dilemma is resolved as beings as we turn away from the world to answer or to resolve, and we go within. We feed the eternal, not the temporary. The world outside is called the temporary. And as we go inside, the eternal, the everlasting, as we feed that relationship, then our whole perception opens and we see a world filled with beautiful opportunities, because that's what it's supposed to be. That's what it's supposed to be. This is supposed to be a playground out here. We're at recess here. There's a real big misconception that this is somehow a schoolhouse and we're here to learn and do all of this processing. Not really. The higher esoteric knowledge reveals that this world is for us to enjoy, for us to play with our extreme creativity. Just push the window, push the limits, just play, have fun.
Wow, Christopher, that's wonderful advice. And let's leave our listeners with that thought, for them to go out and play and have fun and enjoy themselves, and in that state of enjoyment that we know that all of their needs will be taken care of. And you are fantastic. I am so grateful to you for coming on the show today. And please share with our listeners where they can find more about you and your work.
Thank you, Jaden. Our website is, of course, www.christophertims.com for all things Christopher Timms. And on the site, there's a free meditation that you can get. That's a nice little guided meditation I put together for everybody. So all you have to do is just go to the website. On the right-hand side, you'll see get your meditation, and that'll be a download available to you.
Excellent. So everyone, go to www.christophertims, that's TIMS.com, and receive his amazing free guided meditation. Christopher, you are a gem. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time today, and I'd love to have you back on the show soon.
Thank you, Jaden. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
Have a terrific day.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone. You heard it here. Christopher Timms, he is fantastic. I wish I had another hour or two to have him on the show. I'll definitely bring him back, and we'll go deeper into our conversation about balancing your spiritual practice with a successful business, so that every dream and every goal and desire that you have is fulfilled. I mean, that's really the beauty of life. And like Christopher says, remind yourself, life is a beautiful playground, and have fun. You know, there's a lot of great things that happen when you're out enjoying yourself, and people feel more guided to come to you to offer you opportunities, and we know that money comes through people and opportunities. So relax. Remember to allow for your message, your story, to be part of what you're sharing, or to actually be a large part of what you share with others, that truly is the gift that you have to share. And enjoy Halloween this week. Tomorrow, Halloween, safe trick-or-treating. Please don't overdo it with too much candy. And lately, we're seeing that a lot of dentists around are offering candy buyback programs. I know there's a wonderful dentist, Dr. Evans in Calgary, Alberta here, who is offering a candy buyback program and has a fun event around that. So consider that as well. Our kids don't have to be all crazy with this candy going on. Thanks, everyone, for playing along here. We'll see you next week. I'm Jaden Sterling. Have a great week.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. Geico has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting geico.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.